If you're artistic, you're good with your hands, you make molds, you silicone, cast, and love to sculpture or makeup, then prosthetics, makeup effects, is a profession that you definitely want to consider. Jordi works in the film industry and he has a lot of experience that he's sharing with me today. Jordi, thank you and welcome to my podcast. I'm very happy to have you.
Thank you.
And a common friend has introduced us from the film industry. And I imagine that the job you do is really specific to the industry, to the film industry. Is that right?
Yes, but sometimes we also work for museums because it's, you know, when you have to recreate like prehistoric animal, for example, or, you know, a replica from either an animal or a living historic person, you know, or something like this. Sometimes we also work in this field.
Oh, that's very interesting. And how did you start, actually? Did you know that you wanted to become a prosthetics and makeup effect artist?
Well, it comes from, you know, being a child and looking all these 80s movies with, you know, all these monsters and creatures and all these, you know, gore effects and all these things, but you don't think that this is an actual job, you know. But at some point, I remember when I was about maybe 13 years old or something like this, I realized that this was an actual job. And then is when you start thinking about it. And my father, he was working in a bank, but he was also doing some makeups for a theater, just, you know, fantasy makeups. And I started to get involved with it and realize, you know, getting a bit more, I don't know, passionate about it. And yeah, I just, as soon as I could, I jumped into a makeup school and I did 2 years. And after that, yeah, fighting to get a place, to get a job, trying to, you know, do as much short films and, you know, doing makeup on my friends for Carnival and just trying to get a good portfolio to show to the professional people.
To professionals, yeah. And so when you started, you said you went to school for 2 years. Is a makeup school just makeup or do you also learn prosthetic stuff?
Well, it's always a bit difficult, you know, because if you know that you want to do special makeup effects, now it's a bit different. But when I first started, normally you have to do like a bit of everything to start with. You know, you do like straight fashion makeup and theater makeup. And then you start doing a little bit of prosthetics, but something very basic. And then the following year, then is when you focus a bit more on makeup effects.
Okay.
And by that time, I was basically doing foam latex. It's like a 80s kind of, I mean, we still use it nowadays, but it's more like, it's an old technique, let's say, that you didn't use anymore.
Okay. So yeah, I imagine there has been such a big evolution in the material that you use. So you were saying like foam latex, is that what you started with?
Yeah, foam latex was, it's let's say a latex, you know, latex, that basically this rubber material that you somehow you can mix it with some different components and you can make a foam of this. So you can have like a soft rubber that you can pour into a mold and you get like a nice skin feeling of, you know, to change whatever you want to do with it.
And today, what do you use?
Nowadays, what we mostly use is silicone.
Silicone. You can do a lot with silicone.
Yeah, basically we do
everything
as much as we can with silicone because it's more, you know, you have this translucency that you don't have with the other materials. So yeah, silicone is the material we mostly use nowadays.
It takes a lot of artistry because I was looking at your Instagram page, which I will also share on my podcast. And it's a, well, first of all, I couldn't eat afterwards. There's a lot of gory stuff. I can think of all the horror and which is great because it does really look real. It's amazing. So it must be lots of fun to create it. But yeah, there was a dog. There was like a drowned face. So you need to reproduce. Also, you need to know scientifically also what happens to a body when it stays for hours in water.
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit? So how do you study that? Did you study that at school or was it a work in progress when you were having the jobs?
Well, normally when you get a job, you try to get a lot of information and a lot of pictures of either if it's a dog that you have to recreate, you have to know the anatomy and you have to know you know, have to make something that looks real. Otherwise, you're looking at the movie and then it's like, what's that? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we try to get as close to real reality as we can. And sometimes you have to look at, you know, quite tough stuff.
Photos.
You know, like corpses. I remember one of my very first jobs I got in Barcelona for a company that is called DDT was to go to, because now we have plenty of, you know, you just Google it and you get crazy pictures. But, you know, years ago was not that easy. So I remember going to the university and going to the medical part of the university and looking for, you know, a lot of crazy books and information and going to the photocopy, you know, where you place the book and you just print the images of it. And people was looking at me like crazy because I was just printing the craziest things. So.
Cool. So, because of course, if someone is listening and says, oh, I want to do this, it's so cool. Is there a lot of competition? And what do you do to start? Because it must be so hard. I mean, having been in the film industry, I know that it's such a closed world. And then once you get in, then, you know, you do from one job to another. If you're good, you'll just grow and then you don't even need your CV. But it's that entry point that's so difficult. How did you do it? What was your experience?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's so many different ways to come into this world, especially if, I mean, from this field, from makeup effects, because some people comes from an artistic, you know, coming from an art school, you know, some people comes from a makeup school. Some people just comes because, I mean, they like it and they've been playing with clay and sculpting and painting and doing makeups on their own. You know, you don't really need like a professional, how is it called? Diploma or
degree,
you know, degree. Exactly. So there's many people coming from different fields, different ways, but my particular, the way I get in, as I said, I did 2 years in a school, a makeup school. And after that, I realized that I didn't learn enough. That was not enough. So I start just doing my own things, you know, sculpting at home, researching on internet, doing as many short films as I could. And then I went to England because I wanted to study English because my English was rubbish, even more than today. So
now you speak well.
So I wanted to learn English. And once I came back, I wanted to save some money to go to a makeup school in London. But meanwhile, I was working in a factory just to earn some money. And I got a call. Well, it wasn't a call. It was like an advertisement on internet that they were looking for a sculptor for a movie. And I just went for it and I got the job. And this first job I got was for the movie The Perfume.
Ah, yeah, I remember that.
But in this film, I was actually working more as in the art department. I was sculpting like props and, you know, stuff like this. But this was my door, you know, to get into this professional world.
I see.
And after that, I just tried, you know, to get close to these people and show my work and try to get, you know, sometimes it was not like even for cinema. It was for, as I said, for museums or for advertisements. And slowly, you know, I got my way in.
You were in. Which department does it fall under? Is it makeup or is it art department? The prosthetics?
No, prosthetics is more makeup normally. Okay. Yeah.
And what else are the movies that you've done that I may know of?
I mean, I've been working in a lot of Spanish movies. Because I think my first professional movie was in 2006. And I was working in the same company for about 7 years. And this was in Barcelona. So most of the movies were Spanish. So not very well known for, you know, the rest of Europe or the world. But this company was very well known by that time. I didn't work on this one, but they did the Pan's Labyrinth. I don't know if you heard about this. So from time to time, they were getting also quite big productions and a lot of international technicians were coming into that workshop. So I get to know quite a few people around Europe. And after my stay in this company, I jumped as a freelancer. And knowing these people, I had the chance to jump in Berlin for another company that is called Twilight Creations. And I jumped in London, I jumped in Italy, and I've been working for 1917, that is a war movie. I've been working for lately, the latest one that it's been on cinema, it's The Batman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw Picasso.
Ingenious Picasso with Kate.
Ingenious Picasso, yeah.
That's where we first met, actually. That was the very first show. And since then, we've been working quite a lot together with Davina. So, yeah.
Okay, nice.
We've been also in Cowboy Bebop together in New Zealand. And also was in the show called Chernobyl. Yeah, and then a lot of Spanish movies. The Impossible, The Monster Call, The Orphanage.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a few.
Awesome. Yeah, congratulations. It's a great achievement, right? And do you get calls for something specific, or do they expect you to know the whole spectrum of makeup and prosthetics? Like, it was, like, for instance, working with some material, like recreating dead bodies, or using really silicone, or making people like aging people, or.
I mean, every job is different. You know, sometimes you are just doing, I don't know, a fake nose to make him look more likely someone else, you know?
Yeah.
And another time you're doing an old age makeup. Sometimes you are just killing people, like bullets and, you know, slashed throats and corpses. Other times you are just replicating animals, or, I mean, this, it's very different, you know?
Yeah.
But normally when it's about prosthetics, what is about makeup, normally it's more like characters, you know, because someone needs to be bald, or he has to become older in the movie, or he's aging through the movie, or he has to look like a historical character.
Yeah.
And you have to make him look a little bit more like him. So, I mean, every job is different, which is cool.
Which is cool, yeah. And what do you like to do most? What do you like? What's your favorite?
I really like to transform people, you know, and deform people as well. Even if it's a character makeup or it's a trauma, you know, like a crazy trauma where you can distort, reshape the face. And also it's very cool when you, for example, sculpt more like creature-looking character, you know, like monster, let's say.
Yeah.
And you are playing with clay, you know, or someone or myself does the design, then you play with clay on the actor's live cast. And at some point, you know, it's that day where you do the makeup test and that creature becomes, or that character becomes real, you know, because opens the eyes, opens the mouth, start talking and becomes alive. So it's a bit like Frankenstein feeling.
And so you say there's a first phase of clay and creating like a mold to, in order to then play with it. And then you produce what you, the formation that you want to make.
Yeah. We always normally start with design, you know, and once the design is approved, you go meet the actor and you do the live cast, which is like a mold of his face that you get every single pore texture of his face.
Wow. How do you do, like, you put actually clay onto his face?
No, it's not clay. We use either alginate is the old-fashioned way, and then we also have silicone.
Ah, silicone.
I don't know if you've never been in the dentist and they got like these
shapes.
And they place this thick paste on in your mouth.
And initially it's very soft and then it hardens.
Exactly. This is the old-fashioned way. Alginate, it's called the material.
Alginate, okay.
Alginate, yeah. And nowadays we use more silicone because you can reuse it. The other one, you can just pour one copy and then you throw it away. So.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So it's not too heavy on the actor to get them.
No, I mean, you know, some people struggles more than others. For example, I've been through this process many times and I really enjoy it. I can chill under it. It's a very strange feeling because you get covered completely and you just leave your nostrils so you can breathe.
Open, yeah.
And you get like about half a centimeter layer. And then on top of it, because it's quite flexible, this material, then you go with plaster bandages on top. So it takes a while, you know, it takes around about, it depends if you go just for a face live cast, you go for a head live cast, which is a complete one. So
how long can it take?
Probably for about half an hour at least.
Okay.
For a full live cast, 30-40 minutes. So,
okay.
You know, it's an experience just being in there on your own, blinded, and
wow,
you cannot hear very well. So you're like in a bubble, like
in a bubble.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Amazing. And that's the base for then doing anything on the face, for example.
Yeah.
And if there's like broken arms, or I've seen some really disturbing photos of like leprosy or something.
Yes.
Like gory, bloody leprosy on the face and on the arm, some pus coming out. It was really and do you do the same process with the actors?
Yeah, you normally do always start with the life cast. Even, I mean, it can be the face, but can be the arms, can be the feet, can be the torso, can be one leg, can be a full body, because sometimes you have to replicate, you know,
yeah,
someone who's dying, and of course the actor cannot play that role, so you just do the full life cast.
So I imagine that it does last quite a bit of time before actually producing, before shooting. You are involved in the pre-production in quite some time beforehand. How long is your project usually? Like you're called on a movie, how long does it last for you?
It really depends, because some movies you go just for, you know, one single effect or one single makeup, and another one, it's plenty of them, so you can stay for the whole movie. Normally, you just go for, you know, this character has a cat on his throat, and this character has a big nose, and you do it in the workshop, and then you go on set, apply it, shoot it, and that's it. But, for example, now I'm getting more used to get the whole job, and, you know, I go with the production. We set up a workshop, wherever it is, you know, if it's Prague, can be New Zealand, can be Budapest. And I set up a workshop, and we get the script, and makeup designer asks us, yeah, we need, on this episode, we have someone who has a shot on his head, and we need to see that on camera. Or we have someone who, you know, chop off his head, and we need a replica of the actress. So we are there basically building and creating makeups and makeup effects for the whole, 6-7 months.
Yeah.
But normally we need a little bit of pre-production, ideally.
Yeah, no, that's great. So you're basically mainly interacting with the makeup artist, or, you know, the department of makeup. And then from there, then you talk to the director and everyone else, or is it mainly?
Yeah, it depends. If you're working for another workshop, you know, who they say, you have to do this, and this is the way we want it, this is the way the director wants to do it. Another way is through the makeup designer, because I get my own project, let's say, and I am the prosthetic supervisor, so I have a little bit more of
freedom.
Freedom, and, well, not freedom, but I can put my creativity in this, you know.
Yeah.
So it really depends if you go and work for someone else, or you're basically working on your project.
Is there a lot of competition in your profession? Are there many people out there that do this job?
I mean, it's not a big field, but there's quite a lot of people. And nowadays, there's a lot of work.
Okay.
So there's competition, yes, but at the same time, there's...
Everybody works.
Yeah, everybody works. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know, because...
Or at least the professional people, you know, I mean, there's people who tries to get in, and that takes a little bit more of time. But yeah, I don't see anyone struggling to get a job.
Okay. And what would you suggest a young person does to enter this line of work? Where would they start first?
At home. They should start at home and having fun, and, you know, just recreating with a piece of clay or, you know, a brush and some makeup. Something easy. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money, but just play with clay, do some sculpts, do some designs with... Now you can also use digital tools.
Digital tools.
Yeah. And just, you know, train, learn, do a lot of mistakes. And yeah, just try to get in, like showing your stuff to some professionals, you know, the closest ones that you can have, and try to get in.
So you will go to what, to production companies?
No, I will go for a workshop. Any makeup effects, special effects company or...
Special effects company, okay. Makeup effect.
Not special effects, but makeup effects company.
Yeah.
And try to get there and sneak in there, have a look and show your work.
Okay.
Probably you're not going to get a job, but just keep annoying them and be passionate about it. It takes a while, you know. It's not like you wouldn't knock on a door and just, hey, yeah, there's a place for you. Just jump in,
yeah.
You know. So, yeah, and you will start from, as we all did, you know, like cleaning malls or, you know, doing all these sort of things that is not very artistic, but you have the chance to watch and to learn a lot.
Would you recommend to do a school? Would you recommend to?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's good to know the basics if you are completely blind, if you are completely lost and you don't know where to begin. But normally, the makeup schools are very, very expensive.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know right now, but I remember paying a lot of money for that course. And I remember when I finished the school, I had the feeling I didn't know anything.
Okay.
So, I mean, of course, it's good. You will learn always faster. But what you end up with is not enough. It's never enough.
Yeah.
So I think you can go like going from a makeup school, going from an art school, going from, I don't know, I have some friends that they never been in an art school and have never been in a makeup school. They just like it. They're passionate about it. And they've been learning on their own, you know, like doing it from home. And so you just have to be passionate about it. You have to really like this job. Because it takes a while.
And do you need to be good at something in particular, or can anybody do this job? I mean, I'm not very creative, or I'm not artistic. Could I do it?
Like any other thing, you know, if you don't know anything about it, but you keep training and learning and practicing, yeah, you can. Of course, if you are good in drawing or sculpting or painting, all these skills will really help you. You know, this, for example, I was one of these kids that at school, they were always drawing, you know, on on the notebook. And I was doing, I was a drawer. This helps, but it's not, you know.
And about soft skills, like in terms of character, the predisposition of your character, of does it help if you're, I don't know, patient or if you're understanding? Or what would you say in your experience now, having done many years?
Well, I think it's good to be patient, and it's good to be able to work with people. You know, it's not an individual kind of job, because you normally work with team and you spend many, many hours with this team. So you have to be able to work together as a team and to deal with people. Even if I'm not the most extroverted kind of person, you know, but you can deal with people and you can make you understand and communicate and learn from others, not being like on a competition, like who's the fastest or who's the best, you know, or who's trying to teach when it's needed and trying to learn from others as when you can. Well, concerning the skills, any artistic skills are always welcome, you know, either if it's in drawing or painting or sculpting, all these skills will definitely help you. But these are skills that you can also train, you know. I know some people who is not the best sculptor, but then he does beautiful molds, or he's really good applying makeups, or, you know, there's different departments. So it's not necessarily related to artistic fields. So, and also, you have to be able to work as part of a team, because, you know, sometimes one person does the live cast, then gives it to you. You do the sculpting, then you do it, give it to another department. This department does the molding, and the molds then goes to the silicone runners and they do the silicone pieces, and then goes to the makeup artist. So there's a lot of different departments. You have to be able to work with all these people. So if you want to do everything on your own, or you're not good working as part of a team, then this is not your field.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. And lastly, about the digital world, you know, of course, it's getting more and more advanced. Is it affecting your job?
No, not really. I mean, we've been, or I've been always a little bit afraid about it, but every time the digital world is getting more into it, the movies are getting more makeup, more special effects in them. So, and I see that I have more work than ever. So,
oh, wow.
In one part, yes, it's changing a little bit, but we're not losing the job. So, and at the same time, we're able to use some tools. For example, the old-fashioned way is like, or the actual way, because we're still using it, but we normally sculpt with clay, you know, water clay or just clay. And now you can design and you can sculpt on ZBrush, you can sculpt on digital wall and then print it. So somehow it's also improving or making our work easier or faster to produce. So it's opening some tools in our field as well. So yeah, I don't think that affecting too much at the moment.
It's not a challenge. Yeah, it's not a threat. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm not against that.
Okay, that's good. And I guess you cannot replace your special effects with CGI, for instance, you know, with visual effects. I mean, at some point, you would see the difference.
I think you can tell the difference. Even if it's very well done, you can tell the difference. And I have, I don't know why, but this, I mean, maybe some people will won't like it, but I think the CG ages very badly in cinema. I think the best special effects are the ones that mix both worlds, you know, because sometimes you cannot reach something that visual effects and digital effects would be really helpful. And visual effects and digital effects cannot go. They need, I think, they still need physical references on to be shot on camera, you know. Then you can play with them. Then you can go farther with CG. But I think you still need makeup effects to make it work properly.
Yeah, that's a good base. Yeah, yeah, it's a good point that you make. So yeah, there is still a long time of living together.
I hope so. Yeah, I think yes. So. I mean, as I said, it's changing and it's going to change even more. But I don't see this world getting lost as soon, to be honest. Yeah, I think
I hope
still,
not.
Yeah. I hope so too.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you so much, Jordi. It was very nice. And I'll post some of the photos.
Oh, yeah,
and,
sure.
Yeah, so please feel free to also give me some more, and I'll be happy to share your experience with everyone who's going to listen to this episode.
Sure. Thank you very much.
As you've heard, there are many paths that can take you to a prosthetics job, and also diverse applications like film productions or museums. What is your professional path? Come and share your experience with us.